Testament, the book of Zechariah today, Zechariah chapter 4, and read here the first 10 verses. The book of Zechariah. Now Zechariah, he was a prophet to the returning remnant after the Babylonian captivity. There were prophets who prophesied such as Jeremiah, who prophesied that the captivity was coming and judgment was coming. And then after the 70 years in Babylon, that returning remnant also had several prophets who spoke to them, and the messages that Zechariah gave were, for the most part, words of encouragement to those coming back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. And let's read here in this chapter 4, verse number 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what seest thou? I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Well, this is a message from the prophet Zechariah. In all of the book of Zechariah, there are 10 different visions that he receives, and those visions are to give some an image so that they can understand what God was doing and what God was going to do. There's some of these messages that had more than one meaning, and some of these prophecies and visions even speak to the days that you and I are living in, or even in the last days at the coming of the Lord. But they're all words of hope and encouragement. Amen. Thank God for a word that of encouragement. They needed it so bad. There were two primary leaders there at this time of rebuilding in the city of Jerusalem. One was named Joshua, not the Joshua of Moses' time, but he was a spiritual leader. And then the other one was Zerubbabel. Don't you like that name? I don't know of anybody that's ever named their baby Zerubbabel, but I like that name. It's kind of it's a great name. It really just means born there, or being born in Babylon, born down there in that foreign country. And a lot of those returning from the captivity had never seen Jerusalem. They'd never been to the promised land. They had only heard the stories. You know how stories tend to get embellished and actually almost more than they really were. Well, no doubt there were stories told to these returning people that were almost too good to be true. And certainly when they get to Palestine and to the city of Jerusalem, and they see the destruction that is there, the walls have been torn down, the city has been just completely flattened, the temple was burned with fire and destroyed, and there was nothing but just heaps of rubbish everywhere all over the city, and it's been sitting in that condition for 70 years. It was really a very bleak and a hopeless situation. Zerubbabel has a responsibility to go in there and to be a builder, to restore and to encourage the people, to restore and to rebuild. And so he gives, God gives to Zechariah these messages, these visions to give to these so that they will rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and primarily rebuilding the temple, that place of worship. Now notice here the first part of this chapter that he says that the angel, Zechariah says, the angel spoke to me, talked with me, and came again to me. This is the seventh vision already in the book of Zechariah. And he waked me as a man that is awakened out of his sleep. Now he's saying, I wasn't asleep, but he woke me up to some things that I was asleep to. You know, you can be wide awake in the flesh, physically wide awake, but terribly asleep in the spirit. Amen. It's possible to be in that condition. And that's really the message that's coming through this prophet of God. He's being awakened to the possibilities, awakened to some things that he wasn't aware of. And I think that this is a time. Right now, the season that we are in right now as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a season where a lot of people have kind of been lulled into a spiritual sleep. They may be physically awake going about their day-to-day activities, but spiritually speaking, they have fallen asleep. And they're not aware of what God is wanting to do or how God is wanting to speak. And most of the great revivals of our nation's history were called awakenings because the nation was unaware of their spiritual condition, but then God sent revival and awakened them to their need, awakened them to their spiritual backslidden condition, and caused them to wake up and realize how much that they needed God. Oh, how we need a spiritual awakening right now in our world, in our country, in our nation, in our community. We need a spiritual awakening in our lives. Romans 13 and 11, it's knowing the time that is high time to awake out of sleep. It's high time. It's beyond time for us to awaken out of our sleep. So the nation needs a spiritual awakening. Communities and cities all across this land need a spiritual awakening. And you and I in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need a spiritual awakening. We need to become more aware of where we stand with God and what our needs are. And if you'll be open to the Lord will talk to you about your spiritual condition and your need. Paul told the Ephesian church in Ephesians 5 and 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. So he compares spiritual sleep to spiritual death, that you find yourself in such a condition that you can't be stirred, you can't be moved, nothing really affects you. No matter what's going on, you're not stirred by it, you're not awakened by the conditions, because it's easy to go to sleep spiritually. It's easy to die spiritually. It really is. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, just watch with me for 1 hour. Just wait with me for 1 hour. Just pray and watch with me for 1 hour. After he goes and then comes back to his disciples, the Bible says he finds them asleep. He finds them sleeping. Could you not watch with me just 1 hour? Now, this is the crisis hour for Jesus. This is just before his crucifixion. This is the crisis hour of his life. And he asks his disciples, watch with me just 1 hour. Let me tell you, the crisis hour is an hour that we need to wake up. We need to stay awake, and we need to be revived and spiritually stirred to the needs of the hour that we're in right now. Amen. Many examples of spiritual sleep in the scripture, and even going to sleep in the crisis hour. Remember the young man, Eutychus, that fell out of the window when he went to sleep because Paul preached till midnight. And he fell out of the window. Now, this was a crisis time. The reason that Paul preached what he preached to them during this time is because he was getting ready to leave them. You can read just a little bit further in that chapter, and you can see that he's weeping and he's hugging their necks because he knows he's not going to ever see them again in this world. It is a crisis hour, and what he was speaking to them was so important for them to hear. But yet one falls asleep in the crisis hour. The church can't afford to go to sleep during these times that we're in right now. Amen. We cannot afford to go to sleep in this crisis hour that we're in. We've never faced times such as we are facing right now. And it should be a reminder to us of how much more we need God, and we need the things of God. And so he speaks to him, and this is a dream, a vision that first of all required that he wake up and he be in tune to what he is seeing and hearing. It says, and he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold. Now that wasn't something that was too out of the ordinary for anyone that had ever visited the temple. That was a common scene to see the menorah or the golden lamp stand there that provided light for all of the temple. That wasn't an uncommon scene, but what he did see in this vision was very, very strange and unique, because it wasn't just a golden candlestick, but there was a bowl. There was a big bowl at the top of it, and there were seven pipes that ran from the bowl to the lamp. And then on each side of it, there were olive trees. They were also interconnected with this piping or tubing, I guess you could say. That's what he saw in the vision. The olive trees were pouring oil into the bowl. The bowl had the seven different lines that were running to the candlestick. You see, it was the responsibility of the priest and those that served in the temple to make sure that the oil was replenished every day for the light in the temple. It was important that wicks be trimmed and that the lamp would be burning at all the time. We mentioned this in a service a week or two back, how that the law of God required that the lamp always be burning continually. It was to never, ever go out. So really what he showed to him in this vision was a wonderful, wonderful lesson and a parallel for the church of these last days. And that is that God wants to provide for us a continuing supply of the Spirit for our needs of these last days, because we cannot afford for the lamp and the light of God to go out. It has to be burning. There has to be light in the house of God. There has to be the Spirit of God at work in our lives continually. And he gave to him this wonderful vision of this, of these olive trees providing this perpetual supply of oil for the lamp in the temple. Praise God. Hallelujah. The two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other on the other side. So I answered and spake
to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these things, my Lord?" Then the angel talked with me and answered and said unto me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And he said, "No, my Lord." And then this is the verse that we quote a lot, verse number 6. Then he answered and spake, saying, "This is the word of the Lord." This is Zechariah speaking to Zerubbabel. "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." What was the circumstance? Well, the city was lying in ruins. All that you could see was just the decay and the destruction that had happened 70 years before. It was a hopeless situation that was before them. And the message that was coming by this angel of the Lord through the prophet Zechariah to Zerubbabel to encourage him and to let him know that it's not by might or it's not by your own natural physical strength or ability. It's not by might, it's not by power or any authority of anyone else other than God, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. And God was saying, I'm going to provide for you this continuing, perpetual supply of oil pouring into your life, pouring into you, and God is going to supply what you need in this crisis time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So a continuing supply. And you know, that's exactly what the Lord has promised to every one of us who will just make ourselves available to the Lord. That there is this wonderful supply of the Holy Spirit that's available to us. It's a supply that will not run out. It's a supply that is all that we need. It's all that we need to be able to succeed in this last day and to face all the crisis and all the questions. And I know it's a perplexing time. It's a time when a lot of us sit, you know, we worry, we're concerned, we don't know what to do or how to respond or react. But there is a supply, a wonderful supply of the Holy Spirit that's made available to every believer who will take advantage of this wonderful blessing. Amen. And so he spoke to him, telling him that the light needs to stay on, and it will stay on. It'll be this type, this oil that was a type of the Holy Spirit that was going to be a picture and a message to Zerubbabel to let him know that God is going to supply the strength you need. It's a big task. It's an overwhelming task. All that's been destroyed. But you can do this by the power of the Spirit of God. Not by your own strength or by the authority or power of anyone else. It is only by the power of God's Spirit that you're going to be able to face this challenge. Praise God. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? What is he talking about when he's talking to this mountain? Well, we know that Jerusalem was built on a hillside. It's the Mount of God. It's the mountain of God. And that city was destroyed. The walls were down. The buildings were destroyed. The city was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And so when he describes, O great mountain, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. Amen. Sometimes we have overwhelming circumstances before us, big mountains, big trials, big things in our pathway. We don't know what to do about it, but the Lord promised Zerubbabel that the Lord was going to provide for him by the Spirit of God what was necessary. He was going to be able to turn that big mountain of rubbish and destruction into a level plain. Amen. He was going to be able to take care of all of that and cause all of this to be rebuilt again. He wasn't the only one. There was, of course, others, Nehemiah and others, and Ezra, who were involved in reconstruction of the city and the walls and Zerubbabel, the temple. And he has given this wonderful promise. This big mountain that's in your way, I'm going to move that. I'm going to make it into a flat plain. I'm going to clear out all the rubbish. I'm going to get rid of everything that's in your pathway and cause you to be able to build again the temple of the Lord. Amen. Now, I think we all have to admit that there are a lot of things that the enemy puts in our pathway that are overwhelming circumstances, problems, sometimes mountains that seem so big that we can't go over them, we can't go through them. We don't know what to do about some of the trying circumstances that we face, but we have the promise of God's word, just as he gave this promise to Zerubbabel, who I already mentioned, had never been there before. He had heard about the city and he'd heard about the temple, but his very name means born down there in that foreign country. He comes back and now he's got this unbelievable task to clear out all the rubbish and all the destruction and build again the house of the Lord. It seemed like a big impossibility, but I want you to know that we all may face things from time to time that seem too hard and too big. They seem like impossible circumstances, but you can put your trust in the Lord today. You can call upon the Lord today. There is power. There is the blessing of the supply of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we're going to be able to face the challenges of these last days. Amen. And do what the Lord has called us to do. I know we've sung the song a lot. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. You're up against some things, and we face things from time to time that are overwhelming to us, and we do not know what to do. That's where Zerubbabel was. He didn't know how to do it. He didn't know how to face the destruction and the awfulness of what he was seeing before his eyes. But then here comes the message from the prophet of God telling him that the Spirit of God was going to be enough, and that there was going to be this perpetual supply of the Spirit of God that's going to come upon you, Zerubbabel, and you're going to know what to do, and you're going to know how to build the house of the Lord and get it rebuilt and reconstructed. Amen. And that's what the Bible says happened. Amen. It says he will bring forth the headstone. The headstone is what was going to be, that's the final stone that would go in the completion. And so he's saying he's going to complete this project. He has laid the foundation stone, so shall be on the headstone. As he has begun the building, so shall he finish it. Amen. Praise God. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. God is right in the middle of your situation and your worries and your troubles. And by the way, he's right in the middle of the work of God, right here at this location, First Pentecostal Church. And we've had our ups and our downs, our struggles and our victories. But I want you to know that if we'll tap into that divine source of the power of the Spirit of God, that God's supply is enough to cause us to go forward and to build his church. Hallelujah. God's going to finish what he started. He's going to move if we'll put our confidence in the Lord today. Amen. Praise God. He says, don't despise. Let's read on down here. Verse 8, it's not the end of this vision yet. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. I just read that to you. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Praise God. It's going to be confirmed. The word of the Lord in this prophecy is going to be confirmed by the fact that it's going to become a reality, that the temple is going to be built. The house of God is going to be restored and rebuilt. And God is going to do it. Verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? Now, Zerubbabel was just a young man coming back from captivity, no prior experience in Jerusalem, didn't know anything about it, but now he's going to be the chief architect and contractor, amen, to rebuild the temple of God. And it's going to be God that's going to show him how that he was going to be able to do it. And said that they were not to despise the small things, the day of the small things. Apparently, this man, Zerubbabel, he probably didn't have much experience, if any. And here he was faced with this overwhelming task. And the Lord is saying, don't despise this day of small things. That God can use anyone, even somebody inexperienced, even someone that is seemingly overwhelmed by the task. But God is going to use his hands and use him to see this accomplished for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember over there in the book of Nehemiah, when they were trying to get the walls built, that it says that when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was wroth, or he was angry. He was angry with great indignation. I mean, he was hot. He was mad. And it says, and he mocked the Jews, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? You know, there's always those with a few words of discouragement. Always those that think, well, you're just too small and you don't know what you're doing and you don't have the experience or you don't have the ability. And so that's what he's doing. He's saying they're trying to build a wall, but what are these feeble Jews going to be able to do? Then he says, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Or will they just start in the morning and say by the end of the day, that's it, I'm through. I'm not going to work anymore on this project. Will they say it's over after one day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Are they going to be able to go into that big pile of stones and pull them out and clean them up? And are they going to be able to get the job done? And what they were doing, they were ridiculing the day of small things. These feeble Jews, these that have, you know, but a wonderful thing about God is that God has always chosen the weak and the base. He's always chosen the least likely. Remember, he chose little David back there on the backside of his father's wilderness, taking care of his father's sheep. That seems to be the pattern throughout God's word, that God would choose and use those that made themselves available to him, even though they were small, even though they were weak and maybe incapable, but yet God would bless and anoint and empower them and cause them to do great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that don't despise the day of small things, for they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. They're going to see that measuring tool. They're going to see him out there getting the job done, getting the task taken care of, building it, because he's not depending upon his own strength, but he's tapped into that wonderful supply of the Spirit of God. And he recognizes that God has made him into the master builder. God has made him into the contractor. He's made him into the architect. And the temple is going to be built, and it's going to cause all the people to shout and rejoice and say, grace, grace upon it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. If the church would just get to that place where we are reminded once again that it's not by might or power, but it's by my Spirit. I mean, we can have a lot of tools, education, equipment. We can have a lot of things. Nothing wrong with a lot of these things that we use as long as we make God and the things of the Spirit of God our absolute dependence upon him, and that it's accomplished by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. And that's that anointing that breaks the yoke. Praise the Lord. They're going to see the plummet in his hand. And with those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord. That's the comforting thing. When you step out to do something for God, even though you may feel like, Lord, I don't know, I've never done this before. I don't have the experience to do this. But he says, I'm going to do this. The Lord's going to put this tool in my hand, this measuring tool in my hand. And that
the eyes of the Lord are going to be upon me. Amen. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the earth. So he's going to empower me with his Spirit. He's going to equip me and give me the tools to get the job done. And he is going to be watching over me every step of the way. He's never going to leave me, but he's always going to be with me, providing and taking care of me, no matter what we face. Praise God. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Amen. You step out to do something for God. You step out to live faithfully for the Lord. And I want you to know that the eyes of the Lord are going to be upon you. He's going to be watching over you. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Amen. Hallelujah. What an amazing vision that Zechariah had, that he then transferred the message to this young man Zerubbabel, who had no experience and didn't even know the city and knew only what he had heard about it. But God was bringing him back there, and he was going to equip him with the power of the Spirit. He was going to give him the tools and the know-how, and God was going to watch over him and help him to accomplish the task. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here we are, folks, in the last days. In these days that no doubt Zechariah was seeing down the road, a time when we would look around and all we would see is destruction. All we could see is the mess of our world and the worldly culture that we live in right now. It looks hopeless. It looks like that nothing can be done about our present situation. But all I want you to know, when God speaks, things can happen. When God speaks, things can happen. And when he pours his Spirit out and we make ourselves available to him to be filled with the Spirit, wonderful things can take place. Even in the last days, even in the midst of all of these things that we see all around us, such an antichrist spirit that's in our world today, the word that came from Zechariah was a word of encouragement telling him, you can do this. You can clear out all of this mess. You can build again. The temple can be restored. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you the tools. I'm going to give you the ability. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be watching over you as you do the work. I'm going to take care of you. Those are some promises we can lay hold of right now in these last days. Hallelujah. That God, by his Holy Spirit, will equip us for the last days. Amen. And I think about losing people like Brother Gary Hampton, who I know whenever he was in a meeting or whenever he was going forth to preach, it was never, I'm going to have to put something together to preach here real quick. No, he was one of the most prepared preachers that I ever knew. He was well prepared. He would spend 8 hours a day praying and studying like it was his job, like he went to a job. He sought the Lord. He spent the time in the Word. And when he came to the pulpit, he had a word from God. He had a message from the Lord. Oh, how we need that so desperately in this hour. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. We know that God can speak to our present circumstance, our present needs that we are facing today. And he can clear out the rubble of this world, and he can build again the house of God and send revival, pour out his Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Let's stand together all over this building today. Hallelujah. Folks, oh, how desperately we need this wonderful supply of the Spirit. It's available to us as a continual, perpetual supply. Amen. It will never run out. The only thing that stops the flow of the Spirit of God is you and me and our own ignoring of the voice of God and turning away from this wonderful provision. But if you stay tapped into this wonderful source, you are filled with the Spirit, and you will have what you need to face the challenges of these days. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's real, folks. You can call upon the Lord. If you've never, ever been filled with the Spirit, oh, how you need to be filled. You need this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost in your life. Nothing more important for these last days than to have this continuing supply of the Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.